Good morning. It's so great to be here with you guys. You guys, I just have to say, I'm so grateful for Catherine that she is here this morning. Her and I got to go to NIAC together, so it just warms my heart for her to be here. We have many stories. We were reminiscing this morning before the service. So I'm so glad that she is here with us this morning. Can you guys join me in prayer for this morning? Holy Spirit, I just pray that you come right now. That, Father, you would just pour out your gifts. That you would just pour out upon us. And that we can just abide in you in this time. But, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you bless every word that is spoken this morning. And that it would be from you. That you would meet us where we're at. You call us friend. You call us friend. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just, you're with us right now. And then just speak through me. And I just pray, Lord God, that we just, you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys, I really love stories. I don't know about you guys, but I was a kid that absolutely loved stories. You see, I would always ask my mom, I was like, tell me a story from the past. Like, I love history. I love reading a good book about a story. I love stories. And a big thing for me when I was a kid, I would ask my mom, see, my dad died when I was 7 years old, and I would say, Mom, tell me a story about that. I would be like, tell me a story. And she would tell me the story. And I would hear these stories over and over again, and then we would be with people, and they're like, let me tell you about this time with your father. And a lot of my friends, I started telling them these stories. And I would tell these stories like I was actually there. Like I imparted myself into the story. I entered the story. I felt all the feels. I was there with them. Like I was in the story. And I would tell them, they would ask me it. And my family just has all these interesting things happen to them. And I was part of the story. And I think sometimes when we're listening to stories, it's hard to impart ourselves, to enter into the story of ourselves. But you see, that's exactly what Jesus did. He entered into the story. He entered into the story. Jesus entered in the story as fully God and fully man. He walked among us. He had a relationship, but he entered in to understand and to feel all the feels, to experience all the pain that we would feel. Have you ever felt betrayed? Jesus knew that feeling. Have you ever felt the weight of temptation? Jesus knew that. He wanted to enter into our story so that he knew that feeling. And he did that exactly, and we see that this morning we're going to be in John 15. And we see that exactly played out. So if you want to open up right now into John 15. See, okay, so this is taking scene. If we look at it where it's in John 14, he is setting the scene. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. And these are some of Jesus' final words to his people. And when you're about to die, you make your words very important. You speak life. You're like, have you ever watched a movie and you see the main character and think, and you know something's about to go down because they start saying all these wise things. Cue the scenic, the suspenseful music. You're like, what's about to happen? But he's saying all these things that are changing life. Yeah, it's like that, but 1,000 times better. So we're about to go watch this scene of this final scene where he's with his people, walking with them. And this is where we're at. So join with me. We're going to be in John 15. We're going to read 1-4 right now. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Either can you. Oh, and unless it abides in me. You see, the vine was a very familiar symbol to the people that he's speaking to his disciples. The vines were everywhere. In ancient Israel, like they're all over the place. So this is something that they could grasp. They see it everywhere, it's in front of them. So they would understand when he's talking about the vine. But also the vine was used as a symbol for the people in the Old Testament. In ancient Israel, it was a symbol, a talking about Israel. So this was very easy for crafts. And so when Jesus says, Jesus is the one speaking in this, he's the narrative. If you had a Bible and some people have it where it's like in red, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus is fully God, fully man, and he's the vine. And God, our Father, is the vine dresser. Also, vine dresser would be correlated to like the gardener, the person taking care and like watching over the vine. God is the one that cultivates and manages the vine. He is the author and creator of this vine. So Jesus is among us. He's fully God and fully man. And here's God. Here's Jesus. He comes into the vine. Everything goes through it. And so he's part of it. He comes in and enters into that part. And then he goes and says, if it does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And that word take away, if you were to look at it into the original language, it could be translated to more of lifted up, not like away. It was more of lifted up. If you were to see a vine on the ground and it's like in the shadows, it's not going to get as much sunlight that it needs. So the vine dresser goes and picks it up off the ground so that it gets the sunlight that it needs, gets the nutrients, the shining. If you're in the dark place, you're not going to get, you're kind of like, I feel like I'm stuck in the darkness. And it's like the vine dresser's like, come here, let me pick you up and bring you in the sunlight so you can get the nutrients, you can get the light that you need to grow. I love how that Jesus is speaking from a place that he's fully man and fully God. And he says this from this place, and he says, every branch that does bear fruit, that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes. It might be more fruitful. Oh, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might be more fruitful. So Jesus knows what it's like to be part of the pruning process. He knows the process of pruning. It's when you have things that are on dead weight, they're just hanging off. So think of it like a banana. If you were to go to banana, are you just going to straight up eat the banana with the peel? I mean, to which of tone if you did. But wouldn't it be more fruitful if you peel it back to take the part that's not going to be great? That it's going to take away from that beautiful essence of the inside, the most fruitful piece, if you don't remove the layers and take off the things that are just basically going to die. That you're going to take the most fruitful part. And so it allows you to taste its richness. And we notice that he keeps saying the word abide. That gets pointed out. So it's so relevant. And so I looked up the word abide because it kept coming up. And it means, from the Webster Dictionary, to remain steady or fixed in a state of love. Another word that you could think of when you think of abide is to endure, to stand, to suffer, to tolerate. It's a mutual relationship when you're abiding. And he says it is that abide in me and I in you, and nothing can bear fruit if it's not connected. If it's not connected, nothing's going to be fruitful of it. So this right here, my friends, is my plant named Gerard. Yes, I named my plant, but yes, this is Gerard. Gerard and I have been together since my senior year of college, and I was given to as a gift. And I was like, why am I given a plant? Like, and I wasn't like this big plant person. I was not the college kid that's like, let me go get a plant my first year. No, I was like, I'm going to kill it. I'm not gonna be able to take care of it. So I literally walk into my room because I was an RA, so I was the first one on campus. I walk in and I see a plant and I was like, oh. So, and that was Gerard that is given to me. And so I didn't get it at first, but then this year I noticed that Gerard had all these, he had like one leaf on him and two other that were dead. And I had to go and they weren't living. And I was like, man, like he's not growing. I'm doing all the right things. He's in sunlight. He's getting the right amount of water. Like what is going on? And so I was like, oh, I don't want to cut off those branches. Like what if I do it wrong? So I go to some of my friends and I said, what do I do? And they're like, you have to go prune it. And I was like, what? I need to cut off like leaves that look really healthy? like, I don't want to cut it off. It's like, great. And then they're like, no, you got to prune it because it's not going to the right source of like growth that it can be. See, Gerard was deeply rooted, but yet he wasn't getting the nutrients and the life that he needed to the maximum capacity because things were holding him down and sucking the life out of him that were half dead. And so I remember it was almost like a funeral process where I was sitting there and cutting off these almost healthy leaves. They were not the right coloring. They were just holding him down. You could just tell they weren't right. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, almost having a funeral moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, Gerard. And I was grieving the fact that I'm like, but they're so beautiful. There's so much life. Can we do something? And it's like, no. And look at Gerard now. He has multiple leaves. He's growing to his full capacity. And he's deeply rooted in that. You guys, the pruning process for us can look like might be cutting people out. Might be something holding you down. What is it that's holding you down? We're going to go on to verse 5 through 10 in John 15. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the bears much fruit, for apart from me, you could do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so it proves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my command, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. That's good. I almost feel like Jesus is like, are you plugged in? Like, are you in this? Like, are you plugged into this? A branch only has the life as if it's connected to the stock. So it only has as much life as it's connected to. And I almost feel like Jesus is warning his disciples, if you're not plugged in, if you're not connected, our spiritual lives and our relationships, they need to be connected to him for growth, for maximum capacity growth. And so I feel like if we're not, then we're not getting our fulfillment. We're always going to be hungry. We're always going to be wanting more. We're always going to be trying to give more and just be tired and drained. But I absolutely love Jesus' posture. I love how he's saying this. You notice that he uses the word if. Now, in the original text, they didn't have exclamation point quotation to make it important. They said it over and over again. But we see the word if said a lot in that passage. You know what he doesn't use? The word should. He doesn't use the word should. And I think a lot of times we're sitting in our mind like Jesus sitting like this saying, you should hang out with me. You should spend time with me. You should. And say, friends, if you're hearing that word when it comes to intimacy with the Father, that's not the voice of the Father. You see, God is not an obligation. Jesus is not an obligation. He's an invitation. And you see, we think we're sitting there like this and he's going like this and we have his arms crossed and he's like, you should do this. You should hang out with me. No, instead, he put his hands on a cross for an invitation to receive you like this. I heard a friend say this, and to me, it hit me because it was like, there's an invitation. That he's sitting there open with an invitation to receive me. And friends, will you receive that today, that God, that Jesus has an invitation for you and I? That he has a purpose? that if we start letting, like, if we start walking in the role, like, he's letting us know we have a role to play in this. That this is not a one-sided cast, that we have a part, we have a purpose, that we need to start, we need to unplug from the world to be plugged into him. For maximum capacity, we need to be plugged in. I think so often we want control. We want to control that because we're like, oh, but if I start doing and unplugging from things, I'm scared what you're going to say. I'm scared what you're going to tell me because we're going to be quiet. And I don't know how that's going to look. And it's hard when we start unplugging. It's hard because then we're sitting and we're thinking, oh, he's going to tell me I didn't spend enough time. Remember, it's an invitation, not an obligation. So this past Wednesday started off with Lent. And Lent is the season that we are fasting at before going into Easter. And it's to connect more with God. And you see, I decided that I was going to give up Netflix and Hulu for Lent. And not saying Netflix and Hulu are bad, I am not saying that at all. But for me, it started becoming this void where I would be like, oh, I have a problem, Netflix. Oh, I don't want to go watch my Netflix, Netflix. I need to relax, Hulu. Like, I would just use it as a void, and God would be like, hey, come, like, hang out with me. I was like, Netflix. I'm Sabbathing by Netflix, God. Like, don't worry. Like, I'm, like, staying here. And again, I'm not saying Netflix is bad, but it was distracting me from time with God, from time with hanging out with him. And I was doing all these things. I was preparing for a sermon. I was hanging out with my friend, and I was just being so drained. And I was like, God, what's wrong? Like, I'm not getting where I feel like I need to be. And it's like, abide in me. Hang out with me. Let me tell you more what I have for you. We hold so tightly onto the things that we think are gonna fill us that when God wants to pour out, our hands are closed like this. When really we need to have an open hand with Jesus to receive what he has for us. What are you holding onto that you need to let go of? What do you need to unplug from? Let's go on to verse 11 through 17. And it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy might be in you, that your joy may be filled. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Do not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whether you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Sorry, guys. Okay. We try to find joy. If we go back to 11, he talks about joy. And we try to find the joy in the reality of a life. And what we need to is unplug from the world to find the joy in him. The result of that is abiding in him and keeping his commands. I love how he uses the word throughout the whole this passage, and he keeps pointing out, again, this is him saying it to make a point. He said it multiple times. He says the word friends. He calls us friend. He wants to make the point and clear that we are his friends. He's talking about his death in this passage. If you go back up and we look at verse 13, it says to lay down his life for his friend. He does that as a friend to us. that he loves us so much, he would give up his life to go and die for us. He's the type of friend that knows you. He's the friend that knew you before you were knitted in your mother's womb. He's the friend that understands, that's in it, and knows you. He's the friend that, like, knows how you're feeling and you have no words and you're just like, ah! He's the friend that knows that. He understands that. You don't even have to say the things. He knows it. And yet, he just knows it. And so he goes as fully God and fully man, then dies for his friend so that they might too have eternal life. Y'all, this is a true word, and it still exists for you and I today. It still has power today. He died for us so that we don't have to. Jesus is unlike most rabbis of this time. Most often rabbis would not approach their students, but Jesus sought after his disciples and chose them and called them. He saw what the worth that they had. He knew their worth. He went after them. He calls us friends. And my question is, are you treating Jesus like friend? Are you the one that's standing there like this saying, Jesus is not there? Like, no. When Jesus is the one standing right behind you going, having an invitation for you, ready to receive you. And have you just turned around and basically was like, it's a two-way conversation with Jesus. Jesus comes down to our level, but are you blowing him off when he wants to hang out? Again, remember, this is an invitation, not an obligation. He's sitting there ready to receive. He's not like, you should hang out with me. He's sitting there patiently waiting and inviting and waiting to receive you, to love you. All you have to do is turn around and receive that. Jesus chose us first. And at the end, he talks about his greatest commandment is to love one another. Friends, he knows how hard it is to love people. You know what I mean? It's like, no, Jesus, you don't know. Yes, he does know how hard it is to love that person that you're probably thinking of. Think of that person that probably drains you the most, that fills up and you're just like, every time you're like, I'm so drained. I know I have that where I'm like, oh, I don't want to hang out with that person because I know I'm just going to like need a nap after them. Like, and I'm so scared, but we're filled up by him. So he knows that feeling. Think of that person. Who is that person for you that drains you? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's just someone that you see on a regular basis. Maybe it's a family member. Who is that person for you? Jesus knew how that was. He knows how draining it, but if we don't abide in Jesus and spend time with him, we are not going to have what we need to be with those people, to fill those people up, to have a fruitful conversation. We're just going to be like, yeah, I'm over you, bye. Like, you know, if we're not abiding in him and then going and being with those people and loving them well, we're not going to be filled when we go to them. We're just going to be drained by them. And so he's saying there is that. So I was thinking about this week, and I was like, all right, how, Lord, like, what does this look like? And I got this picture of a power strip. See, we're a power strip. We only have so many capacities. We have so many things that we could plug into us. And you see, I feel like a lot of us these days, we're like living, and we're just like, well, I'll just plug on top of plug, right? So this is like, I'm gonna plug my power strip into this so I can plug more things in. Oh, wait, I got a great idea. I'm gonna unplug this thing to plug this thing in. Yep, exactly like that. So then you can plug more things in. And when we start to unplug things and we start to prune things out that are not needed so that we can spend more time with him. So with this Lent season for me, I was like, yep, Netflix. They leave a spot for him to fill. And you see, when there's only this many, more power is going to these. More power is going to the things that are there because you're filled more because dead weight's not holding you down. That the maximum capacity power is going through and breathing life through it. So what are you going to let hold you down? You guys, we're starting a new series, and today was the first day we're starting, and it's called Unplugged. And what do we need to unplug from? What do we need to separate from? I want to ask you guys, so let's retrack. Let's go and let's just summarize what we all just talked about. So first, my question is to you guys, that some of you haven't received just the basic truth that Jesus has a purpose for you, that he's inviting you to be a friend, and then he has died for you. Some of you today need to receive that first. Some of you just need to re-receive that, but some of you haven't even talked to Jesus in a while, maybe. Haven't just sat because you're scared what he's going to say when you sit with him. You're scared that he's going to be mad. And I promise you guys, God's character is good. God loves sitting with his friends. He loves hanging out with you. You are seen and heard by him. So sit with him. Some of you guys are just holding back because you just want control. And I just think that some of you guys just need to open up your hands and see what you need to receive. Some of you need to unplug. Some of you need to start unplugging so that you can start receiving. Again, if we have our hands so tightly holding on to the things of this world, we're not going to receive what we have from the Father. And then some of you, who is that person you need to love? His greatest commandment is to love his people, to love one another. It said it in verse 17, these things I can command you so that you will love one another. Who is it that you need to love? You might need to do all three of those things. The first thing I said is receive that he has a plan and a purpose for you. Second, what is it you need to unplug from? Maybe it's just a season, maybe it's for a lifetime, but what is that right now that is sucking your attention, dragging your attention away, sucking the life from you? He wants you to have ultimate power. And the source, what is that main source coming from? Is God. And what needs to fill you? What needs to be unplugged so that it could go through and fill all the other places? And lastly, who's someone you need to love today? Let me pray for us before we go into a time of worship. Can you guys open up your hands like this and just allowing God to receive what he might say to you in this time? Come into a posture that the Holy Spirit's just going to speak. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place that you might fill us, that you might come to our mind of what we need to unplug from. That we will just unplug from the things that are not even filling us. Maybe some of us are in denial that that's even a thing. We feel it kind of dwelling up in us, but we don't want to because we're scared what's going to happen. So I pray, Lord God, for peace right now in Jesus' name to intercede into us right now and to fill us. And I pray, Lord God, that we can just one by one unplug from the things that we need to unplug from. And I pray, Lord God, that your truth will prevail. I pray for a holy pause this week to spend time with you, to abide in you. I pray this in Jesus' name.